Hello, and welcome to Final Girls Horrorcast, the show where we discuss some of the horror, thriller, and sci-fi movies currently available on your favorite streaming sites. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Today we're discussing 2015's Darling, written and directed by Mickey Keating. And also we'll be talking about the new Netflix release, I Am the Pretty Thing That Lives in the House, written and directed by Oz Perkins. Both of these movies are currently streaming on Netflix, and we're about to spoil them, so consider this your spoiler alert. Please feel free to stop the podcast here, go back, watch the movies, and come back and listen to the rest of it. But before we talk about those, let's jump into a segment we like to call
Trailer Trash Talk.
Today's trailer that we're talking about is Life, due for theatrical release May 26th in 2017. We're already talking about spring 2017 releases because we've exhausted all the other ones that are available. this one's directed by Daniel Espinosa and starring Rebecca Ferguson, Ryan Reynolds, and Jake Gyllenhaal. It's probably the biggest movie we've ever talked about, with the most stars in it.
Yeah, for sure.
But I really liked this trailer a lot.
I'm intrigued and I definitely want to see more.
Yeah, it really reminds me of Alien, and I love that, you know, they're in the space station and they're searching for whatever and they come across alien life. That's exciting stuff, man.
And that little guy's so cute.
He is so cute, but apparently...
but don't touch him.
Yeah, barely. You're not supposed to touch him. Yeah.
He'll bite your arm off or whatever.
Or something. I don't know what happened, but...
Who knows?
check out this trailer, guys. It looks like a lot of fun, and hopefully it's a good one. It's, you know, should be a blockbuster. Looks like a blockbuster, but like a scary blockbuster.
It definitely looks like fun if you like space and...
Ryan Reynolds.
Space and Ryan Reynolds. You can't go wrong with the Life trailer.
We're going to apologize now. My cat is roaming around and she is being especially vocal today. And Carly's got some construction going on in her house. So
they're rebuilding my neighbor's roof. So apologies if you hear loud singing or banging, I guess.
I mean, despite how professional we are on this podcast, we're really just two chicks that hang out at home a lot, so...
That like to watch all the movies.
That like to watch all the movies. We are not authorities, nor are we professional enough to have an appropriate space to do this. So
nope, not at all.
Deal with it. But yeah, my cat's meowing every 5 seconds. I have no idea why. She just wants attention today. Anyway... I think that movie looks great. I'm excited about it. So not much to trash talk. But check out the trailer. It looks great. Something to look forward to. So let's jump into it, man.
Let's do it.
So let's talk about Darling first, because I don't know. I want to talk about this one first. I saw this one first. I saw this one when it first came out on Netflix. I don't know exactly when it came out on Netflix, but it was like, I don't know, like 6 months ago, maybe.
And, yeah. I watched this one first of the two as well.
And it's Mickey Keating, and he's done some other movies. He does like indie movies. He's very into doing everything himself. So he writes, directs, produces all his own movies. The first movie he did, full-length movie that he did, was Pod, which I never saw, but it looks like an alien movie. And then 2016, he came out with Carnage Park, which is now on Netflix. I know they just put it on there. I haven't gotten a chance to watch it yet. And then he's also coming out with a movie called Psychopaths, which is also listed to come out in 2016, but there's not even a plot listed in IMDb. so I'm not sure how accurate that information is. But I don't know. I've heard decent things about Carnage Park. The guys at Modern Horrors have interviewed Mickey Keating before, and, you know, so I knew of him before seeing Darling, and I don't know. he's an interesting guy to listen to interviews with. I don't know. Like, how do you feel about this movie, Carly?
I feel like I wanted the lead actress to be Christina Ricci for some reason. I don't know why, but I really was like, I would be so, not that this, like, the actress did, like, a bad job or anything, but I was just like, man, really want some Christina Ricci for some reason.
I
This movie was weird.
Christina Ricci in that role.
Right?
You know, I've seen Lauren Ashley Carter in a couple things, especially Jugface, which she did. It's another independent horror movie that she did, and I really liked that one. But in this movie, I did not like her. And I've seen her in interviews, and she seems lovely and amazing. But in this movie, I just felt like she didn't have anyone to play off of, and I think that the film suffered because of it. I don't know that she was a strong enough actress to pull off a role like that. And I don't mean that insultingly, but it's a difficult role, period. This film just didn't do it for me. I watched Repulsion this week, which is, which very heavily influenced this movie. Repulsion is a Roman Polanski movie. And, it made me understand Darling a lot better, but it also made me, hate it even more, because I didn't like it the first time I saw it, and I really didn't like it the second time I saw it. So I don't know. Did you like this movie, or are you just confused by it?
It didn't hold my attention very well. It kind of seemed like a student art film, but like a not great one, like one that was kind of trying to like do all the like edgy weird things, like mixing the heavy metal music with the classical music randomly, like the weird screeching noises, and like I feel like it depended heavily on that, and it was very glaringly obvious and not done in a very elegant way.
I really agree with that statement. 100%. It feels like a student film. Like, granted, the camera work is fantastic. You can't debate that.
It looks beautiful.
The framing is great. The lighting's fantastic.
The cinematography is A+.
Seriously beautiful. The framing itself, like just the shots were beautiful. They were gorgeous. And the editing, there was nothing wrong with the editing. It feels like you're watching a student film, 100%. Exactly. And it's missing something. And I think that's a story. I mean,
yeah,
you
no,
can't
I
just
I
assume agree. That your audience understands what's going on when you're giving them no evidence that you understand what's going on. Like, it's one thing to be deliberately opaque, I guess. Not opaque, but deliberately difficult. And trying to push your audience to make up a little bit of their own story, even. But this is like, barely anything's given to you. You don't even know what year this is. Like, and it's pathetic. I'm sorry. It is. It's full of itself.
Pretentious?
Yes. Thank you. It's pretentious. It's very pretentious. I don't know why I couldn't think of it. I had brain fart.
There are really weird choices that I feel like it made. The beginning interaction between Darling and Madam is really weird, and it just doesn't feel very genuine, which might be like the tone of the film that they're setting. But like, even I started watching this movie after I got home from work, and it just like put me right to sleep. But even when I was like really tired and I was watching it, and I watched that scene where she's like trying to pull the suitcase up the stairs.
Right.
I was like, that suitcase is not large enough to be that heavy. Like, and then she opens it,
and there's
like
nothing
five
in it.
There.
It's like all clothes.
I was like, that doesn't enhance anything to the story. Like, she could be tired because she's walking up 8 flights of stairs, but it's not necessary for a tiny suitcase to weigh like 150 pounds.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I was like, that's a weird choice that they were like, pretend the suitcase is the heaviest thing that you've ever lifted.
Right. Yeah. So the main story is that a young woman is house sitting for this woman, some brownstone in New York City. And we don't know what year it is, but it looks like 60s or 70s, like late 60s, early 70s. And basically the woman that owns the house tells the girl that the last person that watched the house killed herself by jumping off the roof. And then the girl goes crazy, and that's it. So So basically, the parallels here with this and Repulsion are the weird rape parts. So she's quiet and she's weird and she talks strangely and she's very quiet and reserved. And then she has these weird flashbacks of being raped. Now, that's very, very much Repulsion. And if you, I push you to watch Repulsion, like, immediately, as soon as you can, because it's a really good version of this movie. It's what this movie really wants to be and really fails at being. And I really loved Repulsion. I was surprised how much I loved it. But I don't know. Like, okay, so let's dig in a little bit. Now that I gave the basic outline of the story, we can just dig in, right? So what year do you think this is?
I just thought it was a neutral year. I definitely see the clothes being super period, but then, like, the hair and makeup felt more modern vintage than, like,
actual vintage.
Legit vintage. Yeah. So I wasn't really sure. I just kind of thought it was, like, this is a movie that takes place in a random time, I guess.
Yeah. Because but here's the thing. What about the license?
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
She gets this guy to come back to her house, to the house, because she thinks that he's the guy that raped her, right? She thinks that's him. So she kills him and butchers him up and whatever in the bathroom. And she finds his wallet. And it says the name of the man that raped her. It says Henry Sullivan, right? So, but the year on the license says 1977, and it says he was born in 1940 something. So, what?
No.
So what? You can't do that.
Oh.
So it says that, and then even later when it says Henry Sullivan, but then it switches back to whatever his actual name is. I forget what his actual name is. Doesn't really matter. It's still something different than Henry Sullivan. It still says the same year on it. I took pictures of both licenses. They're identical except for the name and the signature. They are identical. So I have a feeling that Mickey Keating wanted to make this a period movie, realized he was unable to do that because he had cars in the background that were modern and graffiti in the background that looked very modern. And so he decided, oh, well, we'll just not make it a period piece, but leave the licenses that say 1970, whatever. Like, you can't do that. I'm sorry.
And then
act like, and in his interviews, he acts like, well, I guess you'll just have to figure it out. It's a secret. And it's like, no, it's not a secret. You fucked up and you don't want to admit it. You pretentious guy. Like, I'm sorry, but I watched a couple interviews with him and he seems so pretentious in all of them. It's bad. It's bad. It makes me not want to watch Carnage Park, even though I heard decent things about it, because I'm just over him. Like, this movie pissed me off. I'm not going to lie.
It was just so weird. Like, I couldn't take it serious. Sorry. Can you hear that?
Yes, 100%.
Like, really bad?
Yeah,
I can. Okay, here we go. So I couldn't, like, take it seriously for most of it. Like, when she is walking with the groceries and, like, the guy taps her and she, like, freaks out so hard.
Yeah.
It was just like, there's so much, like, nothing, there's nothing genuine about this movie.
No.
At all.
No.
And, I mean, we've had this discussion before where, like, I need to care about characters in order for a movie to be interesting to me. And there was, like, nothing that I cared about in this whole movie.
There was zero character development. They give you nothing. Yeah. They give you nothing. It's like, I don't care about her. I don't like her. I don't care what happens to her. I don't know. They did nothing. It did nothing for me. There wasn't enough interaction with her, or we didn't hear enough of what was happening in her head to really get her. And so we can kind of piece together that she was raped, and we can kind of piece together that she's been abused, and we can kind of piece together that she has some psychological break. But we don't really know. We don't know what happened with her old caretakers.
But, like, I don't know if that happened to her or if it was just a flashback from the future that she was seeing that, like, hadn't happened yet. Do you know what I mean?
You think that her getting raped was something in the future that happened?
Well, because she has that one after she kills the guy, she, like, has a dream about him attacking her.
Right.
And that's, like, the same footage that is spliced in when that guy taps her on the shoulder.
Yeah, because when she sees him the first time, she's like, oh, that's the guy that raped me. And that's the first interaction you see. That's the first interaction with a man that you see with her. So
yeah, I just thought it was like the house driving her crazy.
Honestly, I didn't get that the first time I watched it, but after I saw Repulsion, I was like, oh, that's what he's trying to do. Because that's what happens in Repulsion. So,
gotcha. Yeah, no, I seriously, like, because I've only watched this movie once. I watched it this morning. And I literally, when that scene happened and the cut, when I saw that happen and then the cut scene happened where she's like freaking out,
yeah,
I was like, why is that? It doesn't make sense. And then like after she kills her and she has that dream,
yeah,
I was like, oh, so was the house and the possessed cross just like making her see that, so she goes and pursues him to try to kill him?
Yeah, well, like, here's, that's the weird thing, that's the weird part of this movie, is that there's also this whole other level they added on with the upside down cross in a locked room that's like, oh, it's the devil's room or whatever. And all this Latin written on the walls. And it's like, but it serves no purpose because there's no,
yeah,
there's no storytelling device happening to lead us through this movie. It's more like, well, figure it out. You're smart, right? It's a terrible way to tell a story like this. It's really, really insulting. And offensive as a movie watcher, I find,
yeah,
it that way.
No, and that's why I was like, I thought it was the house driving. Like, I didn't think that anything happened to her in her past to make her flip out. I thought it was like the house possessing her and just showing her where she was going to lead, because that's just what happens.
That's interesting. And maybe that's the case, but I'll never know. And no, neither will you. No one will ever let us know.
No one will ever let us know.
Like, if you want to do that in a movie, fine. But you're not Quentin Tarantino. Like, don't, it's fine. You want a briefcase with gold shining at my face? Whatever. I can live with not knowing what's in that briefcase because it's a small, insignificant part of a movie. But you can't make your whole movie based on a fucking suitcase full of gold. Like, you can't do it. It's boring and it's insulting and I fucking hate this movie. I'm sorry.
I also really don't like how at the end, in like halfway through the credits, they added like the scene of the new girl coming and then like, yeah, the new girl and her and the madam having the same conversation, because it's just like,
what are you trying to say? So the woman, yeah, that owns the house is some kind of devil worshiper and she's trying to get you to jump off the roof? Is that what you're trying to say? Is that,
yeah,
she does say the house will take care of you in the beginning, but then that narrative doesn't continue. It's unless it's, you know, and you can't say it's the house that made her think that's the guy that raped her, because she wasn't in the house when she saw the guy and she followed him on her own accord, unless somehow the house possessed her brain. And it's just like, it's too many, there's too many possibilities and not a strong enough narrative. I'm just going to keep saying that over and over again if we keep talking about this movie. Yeah. I just don't like it. I don't like anything about it. That's not true. I do like the way it looks. I did like the framing and the cinematography. I do think Mickey Keating's probably very talented, and he is very young. So
yeah,
I'm not really being fair to him. He's accomplished a lot at his age already, and he's obviously has a lot of talent. Maybe just have someone else write your movies and direct them. I don't know. Or get better at writing.
I mean, this movie was probably more of an idea than actually a script, because there's like no talking in it. I mean, yeah, there is talking, but it's very limited.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe that's part of it, is that, you know, he obviously didn't have a lot of money to make this either, and he did a lot with it. So the house is very underdressed.
I kind of thought it was like on purpose, I guess. But really? It could also have just been
that it was bland and nothing on the walls on purpose.
Yeah, I thought just because of the way that they wanted it to look, it makes sense for the aesthetic that they were going for, I guess.
Hmm.
It never bothered me that there wasn't anything in the house.
Bothered me. It bothered me that in some rooms there was a lot of stuff and in some rooms there's absolutely nothing. And I guess that's just part of having a giant house, but I mean, if I could choose to stay in a giant brownstone that was maybe haunted and I had my choice of all the rooms in this giant house. I wouldn't pick the one with nothing in it. I'd probably sleep on the couch.
Yeah.
I would feel so nervous about it.
I wouldn't go snooping. Is the house, like, are there tenants that, like, live in the house?
No.
Because at the beginning, she's like, oh, I haven't heard from this guy, but he hasn't paid me yet.
You mean Darling says that?
Yeah. Yeah, that, like, the first phone call that
the
Madam
woman,
called.
The woman called asking for her references because she's working for her. Which normally you would ask for someone's references before they work for you, but whatever.
Yeah.
So she says, oh, my references, you know, I have to let them know that we didn't end on good terms or whatever, and I'm still waiting for my last payment. So she had to contact them anyway, is basically what
gotcha.
She was saying. Yeah.
Wasn't paying attention, apparently.
Well, there's not much to pay attention to. okay. Do you have anything else you want to add? Because I really want to stop talking about this movie.
I really do.
I'm glad you saw it. And honestly, I wanted you to see it so that we could do this next movie.
Yeah, I know. I was super intrigued by this when they added it to Netflix. So I'm super excited that it kind of tied in with Darling, because I really don't think I would have sat down and watched this movie otherwise. Or Darling, otherwise. I would have watched the Netflix movie.
So now we're going to talk about I Am the Pretty Thing That Lives in the House. Written and directed by Oz Perkins. And Oz Perkins is an actor, writer, and director. And he's acted in movies, Legally Blonde, Secretary, and Star Trek. Like, he's a legit actor that's been in good movies. And, he just started writing and directing. He did The Black Coat's Daughter, which, I heard of recently, probably due to Modern Horrors podcast. I don't really, know much about it, but, they did that.
Oh my god, I totally didn't realize that that's that guy.
What?
The guy for, I didn't realize that Oz, what's his face? Oz Perkins was the dude from Legally Blonde.
Yeah, he totally is.
That makes me incredibly happy. I don't know why, but like, I'm like giddy. Like, that's so exciting to me for some reason.
He's, so he like kind of stepped back from acting, and now he's doing writing, directing, and he likes horror movies, so we have that to look forward to. So this movie, I hear, is very polarizing. I hear people that love it and I hear people that hate it. I fucking love this movie. I don't know how you feel about it, but I loved it.
I actually really liked it. I really liked how it started out, and then I kind of like towards the like beginning, and I told you towards the end I needed to watch the end like a couple times,
right.
But I actually really liked it. The narrative was excellent. I really mm-hmm. liked the overdub in the beginning, and mm-hmm. like learning about Lily, and I really liked it. I liked working Polly in. Mm-hmm. It was really well done.
This is a really honest ghost story. Like, mm-hmm. Obviously it's not true, but it's like if there was a real ghost story, this would be it. Like, it's beautiful, it's poetic, it's circular, there's no beginning or end, and it just has this there's no knowledge, really. There's ideas. So no one actually knows what happens. I just love it. It's so smart. And this is like the kind of movie that Darling wanted to be. And this is the way you do it. Like, this is how you don't tell a story and tell a story at the same time.
Yeah.
I kind of love this movie so much. So I understand that a lot of horror movie people are maybe not going to like this. It's not gruesome. It's not exciting. And there's not a ton of action. But it's different
than
anything.
But there's a story.
There's something really special about it.
Yeah.
So the basic plot of this movie is that Lily is a hospice nurse. And she comes to stay with Iris Bloom, who is an author of horror thriller novels, who is up there in age now, and she's just living with her and taking care of her in this old house. And now the house has a history, and Iris, the author, basically wrote all of her books based on her knowledge of the ghost in this house, and her basically listening to the ghost in this house. And Lily is very afraid of everything. So
it's so funny.
It's really,
she can't even read it.
She can't. It's like, here's how you develop a character with like little to no dialogue. It's really, really quite an accomplishment to be able to do that. I'm super impressed with it. Because I love Lily, and at the end of it, I was like, I don't know how I got to know Lily so well, but I know Lily so well.
Yeah.
I get her, like, and I love her. I think she's fantastic.
So, I think it's really smart. I mean, really just like the little nuances, and obviously this is something that she does. Like, right. She tells you, you know, they don't ask me to wear white, but I always wear white because mm-hmm. Then I can seem untouched that yeah. I'm like, you know, untouched by the illness or whatever is right. going on in the house. And I think inserting the phone call that she has with her friend was really smart.
Really, really super smart.
Yeah, because it was so subtle. It didn't involve anything extra.
Nope.
It was just kind of a scene that really told you who she was, essentially. She's just a normal girl who does this for a living, and she kind of got roped into, she didn't think that this was going to take as long as.
Yeah, because she's been there for almost a year by the end of it. And that phone call is very important to the narrative. Mm-hmm. And it's not a long phone call. And there's not another one, and you don't need another one. Like, it jumps you off, you kind of get her, you kind of get her history a little bit, and then that's it. And the phone cord part, where the phone...
So good.
Oh my gosh. Like, it's just, and that happens towards the beginning of the movie, and you kind of think, ooh, this is going to be like a scary ghost story. But it's totally not, so I'm sure a lot of people are disappointed by that. I'm not. Although I love that part. I love the cord, like, kind of dangling high above and then just yanking the phone from under her hand. And
I do, too. And I really like the Polly scenes.
Oh, yeah. Polly is beautiful.
She is.
The most beautiful ghost I've ever seen in my life. And she slowly gets creepy, but not scary, just creepy. Like, why are your feet facing the wrong way? Why are you walking that way?
I love the subtle ghost. It's definitely like CGI, but it was so subtle that it's like totally fine. You can barely even see it at the end. I think I caught it the second time that I was rewatching it, is because I was like really, really paying attention.
Oh, that you could see her at the end?
Yeah. Like when the little boy was like looking at the wall.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You can kind of see her like right towards the end as she's passing by. Like, the light has to hit her just right for you to even see her. But you know she's walking there, and then all of a sudden she steps into it. You can see her, and then she disappears again. It's brilliant.
So cool.
It's so great.
Cool.
It's a great way to, like, I don't know. It's just so different and, like, refreshing to have, like, a different kind of ghost story like this. And the narrative is so poetic. Like, I just – the second I heard, like, the first sentence of this movie, I was like, I'm in love. I'm in love with the writing of this movie. It's gorgeous. I want it to be a giant poem. When I was taking notes, I noticed that all of my notes were just rewriting everything that they were saying, because I was like, it's so beautiful. So beautiful. So pretty much all of my notes are just quoting the movie.
That's amazing.
I can't help it.
I will say, though, I definitely had to watch it like 3 times. And then I, like, had to look it up on, you know, like, Wikipedia to make sure that I wasn't, like, I did not understand that Lily sees Polly, and that's what kills her mm-hmm. at the end of the movie.
Oh, you didn't get that.
I was like, what just happened? Why is everyone dead? Because you see, like, the coroner's taking the body bags out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's two. Why are they dead? And that's what I texted you, and I was like, I need another minute.
You saw Iris dead on the ground, right? They show Iris dead on the ground.
The explanation of it is that Lily sees Polly, and that's what kills her. And then because there's nobody to take care of Iris, Iris dies.
That's probably what happens, but we don't know because Iris, they just show Iris on the ground. They don't show her dying or whatever. They just show her on the ground. They close into her dirty foot and the creepiness, the rotting that started to happen. And they And they had the fly buzzing sound, so you know she's been dead a while.
It's been there for a while, yeah.
But they don't, and you see her bell next to her, but she's not on her bed. She looks like she was trying to move around herself, and maybe she fell or whatever. But,
which would make sense because she does come downstairs earlier in the movie, which is probably like the year before or whatever. So right. She obviously tries to be mobile sometimes.
Well, and Lily even says, like, her health is fine. Like, she's just needs help. Like, she's not, it's weird that she has a hospice nurse because she doesn't really need a hospice nurse. She's not dying by any means. She's just maybe mentally not all there.
The guy that, like, runs her estate didn't want to do it anymore. So right. He was like, basically. Hey, I'm going to hire a hospice nurse because she's old.
She could have just had a regular nurse, though, is what I mean, because hospice nurses are usually to help you at the end of your life, and she doesn't really seem like she's dying. I think he was hoping she was dying. But, it's an interesting thing. And that character is really interesting. I love that guy, but I've never seen him in such a serious role before. What's his name? I should look it up.
I know.
Because he was in Best in Show, and he was in Ghost World, which is, like, one of my favorite movies. I love Ghost World.
Bob Balaban. Yeah.
He's great.
Upon
second viewing, I'm like, does he know what's going on in this house? Because I feel like he knows quite a bit about this house. Because he even tells Lily, like, you never read her book. You never read The Lady in the Walls. She's like, yeah, no, I can't read scary books. And
yeah,
he's like, well, I don't want to ruin the ending for you. And she's like, well, I'm not going to read it. And he's like, yeah, but still, you're going to live it. So,
yeah.
I mean, he doesn't say that, but basically he does, right?
Like, yeah.
I'm still not going to tell you it. It's interesting. So, like, basically, I don't know. There's just so much beauty in this movie. I'm just trying to think of where to start. I love the how they use flowers to develop the whole rotting sense when she's talking to the flowers and naming them. And then the ghost whispers, this is how you rot. Like, I love that. It's creepy and awesome. And I love it. And the word rot is not used in these movies very often, but it's a really, if you think about it, a really creepy word. Like, when you refer to it in food, then it's normal. But, like, when you talk about people and ghosts rotting, like, that is really fucking creepy. Sorry, it just is. Oh, my God. And then showing the rot on her hands. And I love how her and Lily and Iris are both flower names. And they keep having these, like, allusions towards flowers and rotting and all these things. So it's interesting how you can see that, because they both are rotting. They're both rotting from being really, really interested in this ghost and investing so much into this ghost that they're not noticing that they're rotting because of it.
Almost,
you know, like, I don't know. And then Lily's just obsessed with her towards the end, where she wants to know so badly. She's, like, trying to force herself to read this book that's scaring her. And when she finally sees her, you know, you see the reflection of Polly in her eye, and then she's just done. Like, she can't handle it. And now, even after she dies, she still wants to know, which is why she's then stuck in the house. Because at the beginning, during the crazy poetic beginning, she says something to the effect of ghosts have the option of leaving their houses.
Yeah.
But the longer they stay there, the harder it is for them to leave. And then they become rotting ghosts in the house.
Yeah, it's so cool. And then at the end, you see a new family moving in.
It's very circular. The whole story is very circular. And
It's really beautifully. I thought it was beautifully done.
Really beautiful. And the shots, the framing is beautiful. There's so many. The colors are really great. There's a lot of white and yellow everywhere. I love the mustard yellow. She's always wearing, like, a mustard yellow, like, hoodie or sweater. Which I just love that color anyway, but okay.
It was very well done.
I can't say enough good things about it. So basically, I like that we're doing both of these movies so we can kind of see. They're very similar movies. I would 100% put them in the same genre. If someone was like, oh, I really like Darling, what other movie could you recommend? I would recommend this one. Because they're very similar. But I think that this one is just, like, so much better. Just narrative alone.
This one had direction. The other one wasn't. it was just, it just was. There's nothing really that was important, or there wasn't a story. I mean, whatever. Yeah, things happened and whatever, but.
I mean, honestly, there's not much story here, but there's, I mean, there's a story. Okay, so there's a story, but there's not a beginning, middle, and end. It just is. And you have to, you have to take it at what it is. Mm-hmm. And that's true, because a lot of times real stories, they don't have an ending at all, let alone a happy or a sad one. Sometimes they just don't have one and you just don't know. And, you know, they make it very clear and they explain that there's not going to be an ending. You basically know there's not going to be an ending, because in Iris's book, she says that, you know, Lily doesn't even, or Polly doesn't even know how she died. So,
yeah,
I'm not going to make one up that's disrespectful to the dead. Like,
yeah,
we're just going to leave it at what she told me.
And the difference, the difference between this movie and Darling is that in this movie, you're on the journey with Lily.
Mm-hmm.
In Darling, you're just wondering what the hell is going on.
That is such a good point and 100% true. That is very well put, Carly.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, I mean, that's it. Do you have any more you want to add?
Not really. I can't say enough good things about I Am the Pretty Thing That Lives in the House.
I highly recommend it, guys. Although I know I keep bringing
It's particular, though. It's a very, it's for a very particular audience. If this isn't a movie that everybody's going to love in by any shape, way, or form, neither of them are, really.
Agreed. 100% agreed. A lot of horror movie people aren't not necessarily going to like this. If you like a lot of action and a lot of gore, these probably aren't your favorite things in the world. But if you're a more, if you're okay with a more subdued movie, with a more, my brain, like my, the dictionary in my brain is just not there today. Like the thesaurus is working, but it's not giving me the word I want.
If you like character building.
Yeah.
And you're okay to just kind of go along for the ride.
I Am the Pretty Thing, not a scary movie at all. I mean, there's some small frights, but it's not, I mean, I could show this to my 6-year-old niece. She wouldn't be that scared. I wouldn't be that worried about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not scary, but it is very poetic. I think, just honestly, because I love poetry so much is why I love this movie so much. The writing is absolutely, like, fantastic. I'm in awe of the writing in this movie. So, bravo to you, Oz Perkins. Forgot his name for a second.
Well done, guy.
Way to go. I'm excited to see other things from him. Me and now too. I want to go back and see The Black Coat's Daughter, because that's the other movie he did. And I like him, so I want to check it out.
He's so fun. I just keep seeing that like scene of Legally Blonde over and over in my head.
He's such a nerd in that movie. I love it.
She's like, you gave me the best orgasm of my life.
I forgot about that movie. I don't think I've seen that movie since high school.
That's so funny.
All right. So let's talk about us now. Yes?
Sure.
What's going on with you, Carly? What have you been watching? Just been working?
I have been watching zero things. I had my first full week of work, and so I just was like insanely busy. But I think it'll mellow out and I'll kind of have more of a handle on things. I still need to watch this week's Exorcist.
Yeah, me too.
And Scream Queens. I'm like super behind on Scream Queens and I enjoy that show for being lighthearted and silly. So, are there any good other good movies that I missed that have like come to VOD?
Not a ton that I've seen. I mean, we have the movies that we're going to be doing, which I'm really excited are on VOD.
I'm always excited about these movies.
But I don't see too many new ones. There's some stuff, but I don't know that we're missing anything big right now. Although I will tell you that I watched Channel Zero the first time and the last, well, not the last time. I don't know why I said for the last time. I watched the entire series in one night. I sat and watched six episodes of this thing, awesome. One after another. So I totally binged it. I wasn't really expecting to. I was home by myself from like 2 to 10 or something on a weeknight. And I was like, I'm just going to watch this. Like, so last week I was on here and I said, oh, there's something with a creepy guy that's covered in teeth. And Ryan on Twitter tweeted at me. He's like, that's Channel Zero. You should watch it. And then, so I did. And it was really great. Anyway, Ryan S., thank you for having my back, Ryan S., telling me that it was for Channel Zero. And so I watched it. And like I said, I watched the whole thing in six episodes. And Justin Lohr from the Horror Business podcast also was like, yes, you have to watch it. I can't believe you haven't watched it yet. I don't think it was even been out that long. But I did. I binged it.
It's on Sci-Fi, right?
It's on Sci-Fi.
Cool.
Which, props to Sci-Fi. Apparently they're good again. I didn't know that.
Apparently they have like a ton of really good shows. I always watch Face Off on Sci-Fi, like the makeup,
special effects makeup show.
But that for a while was the only thing that I watched on Sci-Fi. But one of my friends told me that like their show 12 Monkeys is really good. Mm-hmm. And that despite looking kind of like a weird teen magic show, The Magicians is actually legit. Hmm. But I haven't seen any of them, so I can't personally put a stamp on it.
So basically Channel Zero does a similar thing to American Horror Story in that every season's a different story. And each season is based on a different creepypasta. So I'm not super familiar with creepypastas, but I know that they're horror stories. So each season is based on a different story. So you could technically read the story before you watch the season. This one is called Candle Cove. This season's called Candle Cove. And it's basically about... Does your boyfriend have something to tell you? He keeps turning around really excited.
He's coughing and he's trying to make sure he's not interrupting the podcast.
I just keep seeing him turn around.
He's like dying, but he was trying to cough quietly because he wasn't sure.
Tell him that's okay. He doesn't have to cough silently. It's all right. Let get it all out. He asked him.
There he goes.
But anyway, so this season's called Candle Cove, and it's very weird. It's got what's his name?
Oh my
from
God, John Carroll Finch from the last movie that we watched, Invitation, Murder Guy. Isn't that the same guy?
What?
Yeah. John Carroll Lynch, the guy from The Invitation that, like, murdered his wife.
Yeah.
He played John Sleater. Oh, maybe that's next season.
That's for next season. I'm like, I'm really confused by you right now. He is not in this show.
Oh, my God. What a tie-in. Just kidding.
So, anyway, before I was so rudely interrupted. No, this episode has Paul Snyder in it, who is from Parks and Rec, but only the first season. He plays Mark Brandanowitz. Do you remember him from the very first season of Parks and Rec? Maybe not. He's only there for the first season, then he goes away. But that's where I knew him from.
Elizabethtown.
Oh, okay. I never saw that. But basically, it's just a very weird story about a puppet type TV show that tells children to do creepy things. I don't want to say any more.
Ah, creepy children are so creepy.
But it's so good. You'll really like it, I think. And there's some really interesting characters, and there's definitely a boy that's covered in teeth. And whenever he walks, it sounds like chattering teeth, and you shit your pants. Basically. So wear a diaper. No, generally speaking, this show actually isn't very scary. Like, it's 100% creepy. And it will get in your head a little bit in terms of, like, maybe it's time to sleep. Or maybe it's the middle of the night and you wake up and maybe you hear some teeth chattering. But in terms of, like, actually being scary, there's no real jump scares or anything. Like, I was really expecting some jump scares and for it to really scare the crap out of me. I even said, I tweeted, like, if this really scares me, I'm taking a Gilmore Girls break. Like, I'm not doing this if it scares the crap out of me. But I was 100% able to binge it in one night, and it didn't really have a negative effect. So I recommend it. I recommend checking it out. I think it's fun, And I think you'll like it.
I have a random thought.
Sure.
That I, because I'm lurking the IMDb page, and the person that plays the tooth child.
Yeah.
Is like this, like, little girl. Well, she's not, like, little. She looks like an adult, but who knows. But, like, her hair, I'm impressed that they got her hair in that costume, because she has a lot of it.
Okay, now I have to look it up. Tooth child. Here she is, Cassandra. Oh, wow.
Her hair.
Yeah,
her hair. How did they get that in there?
Beautiful and long and has a lot of body to it.
Huge.
But I would imagine.
Makeup artist.
I would imagine that suit that she was wearing would encompass all of her body, so it probably just laid flat around her.
That is a wig cap in action. Yeah,
for sure.
People.
Honestly, it's the whole show is pretty impressive. I think some of it, I don't want to give spoilers, but some of it I think was surprisingly cheesy looking compared to the rest of it. I thought a lot of it was really good. I really liked the puppetry part of it, like the actual TV show I thought was really creepy and interesting. And the more you learn, the creepier it is. But then you learn even more and then it's less creepy. I wasn't really thrilled with the ending, but all in all, I would recommend it to watch it because I still think it's pretty fun to watch.
I definitely will watch it and stoked that it's coming back for another season then.
I know, I'm excited to see the second season. They just released a trailer for it, so I'm down to watch that. What else is going on? So coming up, I'm going to be traveling a lot. All of December is going to be kind of busy for me. We're going to try really, really hard to stay up with our once-a-week schedule. We have plans to keep up with our once-a-week schedule. We have every intention of keeping up with our once-a-week schedule. Is it going to happen? Let's hope so. No promises. especially with the next Let's Make a Monster, I am having a hard time getting someone to come in and do it. So we might just not have a Let's Make a Monster for December and start again in January. Sorry, guys. The holidays are approaching and everyone's traveling and
special programming.
You know, because I'm traveling too, it's hard to hunt someone down. I'd like to have my brother on when I'm in Florida next week. I'm going to Florida to visit family. And I want to really have my brother on. My brother's editor. He does some editing for TV programming and commercials and things like that. And he went to school for film. So I thought it would be really fun to have him on and pick his brain about some movies. And my brother's basically the whole reason I love movies. I don't know that I would if it wasn't for him. He likes really weird movies too, and really got me into like independent, like thrillery, horror-y type movies at a young age. So
it'd be super fun to chat with him about movies.
It would be.
For sure. If he is willing and able.
He's a little bit nervous about it. I asked him if he would, and he said he would, but he was not excited about it. I was like, don't worry, no one listens to it.
Just give him a few beers.
I know. I feel like beer needs to be included, and then maybe,
and like,
I can
hide the microphone.
Yeah, maybe.
And it'll just be like a regular conversation.
Right. So next week will be our last standard week before the month of December when everything turns to shit, and it's going to be a shit show for us trying to get the show together. But we're going to try. We don't really have a plan for December yet. We're working on it. Yeah, Carly got a job at the worst time possible. Couldn't you wait till after the holidays to get a job, Carly?
Believe me, I thought about it because I was like, God, this severely limits all of my Disney time that I could be writing Tower of Terror before it goes away. So, believe me, I understand.
I'm going to Orlando when I'm in Florida, and we're going to go to Universal.
Yay!
So I'm stoked, and I know fellow horror friend/podcaster Casey works there, and I hopefully will get to meet up with her. I'm really excited to see her.
That's so cool.
Yeah, she's a cool chick, man. Anyway, what else? Not much else. Next week, what are we watching, Carly? Do you know?
Oh my God, we're watching Green Room.
Yes!
Ah, I'm so excited.
Guys, Green Room is on Amazon Prime. Hallelujah.
Break out your confetti cannons.
Yes. And t-shirt cannons.
Yeah.
I don't know what t-shirts would be in there. We don't have t-shirts yet.
We don't. I tried to buy an 8 Rights t-shirt, but they're out of stock, and I was really sad.
Did you see that sweater I bought?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I bought this. You got a great deal on it.
I bought this. We're not talking about how much it costs. I bought this sweater. It's a Gremlin sweater. And I'm really excited about it. And it costs way too much money. And it's a men's size. So I have no idea if it's going to fit me. And they don't have returns. So I really hope it fits. I'll be really sad if it doesn't fit me, right? I tried to buy it a little big. So I was like, if it's big, I'll just wear it with leggings. Right? That's the thing. So I'm going to wear that. I'm sure I'll take some pictures with that. With that on all the time.
Please do. Please just only wear that for like
the whole. I might only wear that.
For the whole of December.
I actually did tell my husband how much I paid for it. And he was like, why did you do that? Like, why? I didn't show him a picture. I think if he saw the picture, he would understand why I did that. But he was like, why? Why would you do that? Why would you buy that?
Why did you tell him we were keeping it a secret?
No, but I can't lie to my husband. I'm like one of those people. Like where
for
I just
you.
I know.
You.
It's a good thing, right? But he was just like, that was stupid. Like it's like you didn't see it. It's really cool. You're gonna want it.
You're gonna approve.
It's gonna be way too big for him. So it really has to fit me. There's no choice. Did I say it's gonna be too big for him? Too small for him. I don't know if I said that right or not. I'm not listening to the playback. Do you remember what I said? No? I have no idea.
I think I just agreed with whatever you said.
That's why you're my favorite co-host.
I'm like, yeah. It's going to be too big.
Yeah.
Or too small.
My husband is not a small man. It would be weird if it was too big on him and it fit me. Not giant, I promise. What was I going to say? I forgot what I was talking about. My Gremlin sweater. Oh, next week we're watching Green Room and
The Vitch. With two V's. Like
double
a W.
Double V Vitch. Really excited about that movie too. These are two of my favorite movies of 2016. If you look at my top horror movies of 2016, they are both in my top five. In fact, I think they're both in my top three. In fact, I think they might both be in my top two, but don't quote me on that because I'm not sure. But it's close.
I think Green Room's my number one of the year.
100% Green Room is my number one of the year.
Yeah.
And every time I hear someone saying that Don't Breathe is their favorite horror movie of the year, I'm like, didn't you fucking see Green Room, which is a million times better?
Seriously, I bopped them on the nose.
And the same subgenre? It's 100% the same subgenre. They go together. Like peanut butter and jelly. But one is a million times better than the other. Sorry, it's true.
Oh god, Green Room's a million times better. Not even that Don't Breathe was like a bad movie.
Which is gonna come out with a sequel now. They already announced it.
That's so stupid.
Here's the thing. Don't Breathe would have been a really great movie like 15 years ago. There's too many good other movies coming out right now that I think are so much better than Don't Breathe. I'm going to get a lot of hate for that. I know a lot of people like Don't Breathe. Okay, it's not a bad movie. It's not. It's not a great movie either.
No, it was totally fine.
It was fine. I feel the same way about Don't Breathe as I feel about Lights Out. It's fine.
It was fine.
It's a fine movie.
It's fine.
There's nothing wrong with it.
No.
It's just
but
not...
I'm excited about Green Room and the Witch.
Oh my god. They're just, like, here's the thing. Like, there's just so many good movies this year that that movie just doesn't stand out to me as a good one. Doesn't mean that it's not a good one. It just means, like, comparatively speaking to everything else I've been watching this year, it's not really. It doesn't stand out to me.
The thing about Don't Breathe is that the middle was great, but it lacked severely in the beginning and the end.
Yeah.
Whereas Green Room was just flawless the whole way through.
I 100% agree. Green Room is a flawless movie, and let's see how I feel about it the second time I watch it.
This will be the third time. I saw it twice in theaters.
Oh, did
I
you?
That much.
So
yeah.
Good.
Well, because I told you, because I was nervous the first time about the dogs.
Yeah.
And so, like, I spent a large portion of the first time I watched it kind of covering my eyes. And then I was like, okay, the dogs are okay. And so then I was like, I can watch this movie fearlessly now.
Well, and we're both, like, ex-show kids, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You used to go
so
to
this
shows
totally
a lot.
Hit home.
I'm ex-hardcore kid.
We shouldn't talk. We're gonna talk about this next week.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, as an ex-hardcore kid, like, this movie is so scary. And I love it.
Seriously.
I'm so excited to talk about it.
All right. So, yeah. So, tune in next week. They are both on Amazon Prime, Green
yes,
Room
ma'am.
And The Witch.
Mm-hmm.
So please watch that before next week so we can all be on the same page.
Yes,
and talk about
ma'am.
The awesome movies.
Listen to Carly. This chick knows what she's talking about.
I do. I do. Sometimes. This week is one of those times.
It's one of those times. It's your day. Congratulations. Okay. How long is this? How long have we been talking? We've been talking a long time.
I don't think so.
No, it's only been a little over an hour, and I started recording way before we started. Nice short episode. I kind of figured it would be, because it's like, how much can you talk about Darling?
Yeah, exactly.
I hate that movie. I'm really mad at Mickey Keating. Don't tell him.
I won't.
Anyway, thanks to Troy from Cave Bastard for our song Sequencing the Drone, and to Jason Link for our amazing logo. Please visit finalgirlshorrorcast.com for additional contact information for them, or to get contact information for us also. We are on Twitter at finalgirlshc and Instagram and Facebook by searching Final Girls Horrorcast. You can also email us. We welcome emails. finalgirlshorrorcast@gmail.com. Seek us out. Give us a shout out. Let us know if you're listening so that we don't get sad that no one's listening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, we would really, really love it if you guys would go on iTunes and rate, review, or subscribe to our podcast. That would make us super happy because we have had the same sad 4 reviews.
They're not sad. They're super awesome.
They're super awesome reviews, but there's only 4 of them. And we would like to see more.
There's only 4.
Yes, exactly.
That's what we meant by that.
We are working on stickers. I haven't forgotten about stickers. They will be coming soon. I'm just waiting for final artwork for our Let's Make a Monster art, because we're going to have both logos. We're going to have our Let's Make a Monster logo and also a Final Girls Horrorcast logo for 2 different stickers. So that'll be fun. And if you rate, review, or subscribe on iTunes, we will send you one of those stickers, or 2 of those stickers, or maybe even more than that. And then wouldn't that be amazing?
Fuckers.
I know, right? That would be amazing.
It really
How
would be.
Awesome. You would be the coolest kid with those stickers. People would be like, what's that? And you'd be like, the best podcast ever. And then they'd be like, I want that. You know, you'd be like that kid. You'd be the cool kid.
The coolest hipster on the block.
For she's. I don't know why I said that. I'm delirious.
Leave it in. Leave it in.
I will leave it in, and I will be embarrassed about it, and then I will call it a day.
I love it.
Fuck it.
Cool.
I'm going to leave the whole thing in. I'm not going to edit any of it. All of it. Even the stuff where I forget people's names, and then I'll look it up after. Leaving it all in, Carly. Going for it. I'm going rogue.
You're welcome, listeners.
Enjoy that. Enjoy 20
Happy.
Minutes of me figuring things out.
Yeah.
Fuck. All right. I think we're done.
Awesome. Yeah, I think we're good, and we will talk again to everyone next week.
Yes, ma'am. All right, from Southern California, we're out.
Bye.
Bye.